all across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It's Wednesday, April 19th. Welcome to the State of Wisconsin Sense on the shores of Lake Wissota. It's another beautiful day up north. And coming up this morning, hey, at least we're not Iowa. Republicans over in the Iowa legislature have been having a week for the history books, rolling back child labor laws, cutting food assistance from the working poor, refusing to answer fiscal questions about bills they're about to pass, making it easier to bring guns into public schools, even interfering with Democrats' plans for next year's Iowa caucus. We're going to review all this and speculate about the corn liquor down there because the Iowa GOP appears to be rather drunk on power. We'll review some headlines around Wisconsin, of course. The Brewers win in extra innings. We'll talk about that. We'll get to national politics and talk about the Republicans', shall we say, interesting tax plan. They could roll back the $2 trillion in deficit spending they did with tax cuts in 2017 that disproportionately went to the very wealthy. Instead, Republicans are continuing to embrace a tax plan that would hit middle-class families the hardest. Or as one member of Congress put it, it's about time that pimps and prostitutes pay taxes. That's their plan. More or less. Todd Albo will join us as well, and we will get into the Dominion settlement of the defamation lawsuit against Fox quote-unquote news. There are positives and negatives about it that we will review with you. First, a couple of reminders. As always, we take your questions, we take your comments pretty much throughout the show. You got something on your mind, something you hear that doesn't sound right, something you want to contribute to the discussion, we'd love to have you at 844-967-2789 or 715-388-7155. The email address is radio@upnorthnewswi.com. And something I haven't said at the top of the show much lately is that this show is not just a radio show, it's also a podcast. We take each hour and turn it into a separate podcast episode. So if you'd like to listen back to a show or subscribe to a show, mine or others, go to thecivicmedia.us, click on shows, and then you can subscribe as well. So we'd love to have you along as a listener in some way, shape, or form, because otherwise Aaron and I just got to talk to ourselves all morning, and then he's got to talk to Todd, and then that's pretty much it. Aaron, good morning.
Good morning. There are worse things than spending the morning with you and Todd. That's for sure.
Oh, are you just saying that because Todd and I are going with you out to a Brewers game on Friday?
Well, that doesn't hurt.
It doesn't anyway. Well, good. Then we've established who's buying the first round when we get there. That's great. I'm very much looking forward to that. I'm betting the Brewers are too. That's a long road trip they've been on. 10 games, no days off. They wrap it up this afternoon in Seattle after winning 6-5 in 11 innings last night. Last night, Aaron, was the latest I've stayed up in a while before a show. And even then, I only got to the sixth inning of the game. But I learned to appreciate that while I once could get by on six and a half hours of sleep, that's getting tougher and tougher to do. You need a really good reason to stay up that late. And I don't know, when is your cash out time these days?
Normally it's like 9 o'clock.
Okay.
Although last night I was up pretty late. I was up till like 10:30 because I had some friends over playing board games. which is not necessarily what you might have expected me to say. Well, for me,
Actually, no. From what I'm not surprised at all. And I was chuckling not at that, but just at the awkwardness that you feel when you have to tell your friends, you know, or family, like, I really got to go to bed.
Oh,
you
yeah, know, definitely.
You know, it's like that's not the thing you say as a young man unless you've got a particular job going on. So, well, let me get to the Brewers here. They did win 6-5 in 11 innings. It was Joey Weimer who scored on a Willie Adames groundout. Adames finished with 3 RBIs. He had a run-scoring double in the third. He had a solo home run in the sixth. Christian Yelich had a leadoff home run, and he made it 2-0 with an RBI single in the third. They play, like I said, this afternoon, and then they're off tomorrow as they come home for 9 games at home, 3 against Boston, 3 against Detroit, 3 against the Angels. And Giannis Antetokounmpo is listed as doubtful So he's not out entirely, but listed as doubtful for game two of their NBA first-round playoff series against the Miami Heat tonight in Milwaukee. In the couple of seconds that I got left, the reason I stayed up late was to finish this book. John Kinville doesn't know that I'm mentioning this morning, but he does know I'm going to reach out to him. John Kinville's a teacher here in Chippewa Falls. He has written a book about the first World War II casualty from Chippewa Falls. This was somebody who, because he was very young, he never married. His life kind of disappeared in the past few decades. And John Kinville's book basically brings him back to life and shows us the vitality of a young man from Wisconsin who was lost at Pearl Harbor. Expect us to talk more about that, but I wanted to say just a specific thank you to John right now for writing that book. Let's take a break. More after this. You're up north.
And we have another minute.
Oh, look at me looking at the clock here. We are off to a great start here. Hang on. I want to put Aaron back on screen so he's properly laughing at me. I remember why this is. I'm looking at the 11s, and once upon a time, our breaks were at 11 past the hour rather than 13 past. So that's how that happened.
Gotcha.
But but it's true. I stayed up too late finishing this book, and it is, I did not know what to expect going into this. I thought, well, you know, somebody from Chippewa was killed in, you know, World War II. What are you going to say? The crux of it is, a long distant relative saved 33 different letters that he and his mom wrote back and forth or to friends and such. And it's through those letters that John Kinville brings him back to life. So Chippewa Falls, World War II hero, Harry Kramer is the name of the book. And we'll talk to John Kinville sometime later about that. Hey, this seems like a good time for a break. Here we go. We'll be right back. Playing the theme here just because it is part of today's history lesson and music break. Coming up a little later this hour, we'll tell you exactly why. Here's our call of the day. We'd like to know if you think that the Fox quote-unquote news defamation settlement will make right-wing media more responsible. Will more of Fox's viewers embrace some less extreme outlets, or will nothing change? Will things actually get worse because it was a settlement and didn't go all the way through the trial process? We would love to have your thoughts on that at 844-967-2789 or 715-388-7155. Again, what do you think is going to be the after effect of what happened yesterday in a courtroom in Delaware, where the Fox political and propaganda channel was due to face some long overdue accountability. It has been far too long in coming, and now it still won't, but at least it did a little bit of good. Whether it did enough good to move the meter remains to be seen. But as background for folks that haven't been following this closely, you surely know by now that in the aftermath of the 2020 election, Fox News consistently parroted Donald Trump's lies about the election somehow being rigged, that there were irregularities. That was my least favorite word during that time. You heard Ron Johnson and Tom Tiffany and all the others talk about irregularities. There weren't any. There were rumors about them because the rumors got started by the lies being told by Donald Trump, and he knew they were lies. The January 6th committee found, you know, the instances where lying about the results was something that was talked about the summer of 2020, months before the election. Fox News didn't have to go along with that. That's the clear thing here. They did not have to go along with it. They could have been a news channel rooted in fact and said, this isn't so, or we're not seeing anything. But no, their hosts and others continued to make claims about voting machines operated or owned or created by Dominion Voting Systems. Dominion telling them in real time, behind the scenes, this stuff isn't true. You know, here's the evidence. Their hosts and producers, they knew it wasn't true. They had their doubts. They expressed their doubts in emails and texts. But they continued to say what they said on air. And Dominion said, that's enough. you should have to pay a price for lying about us on air. And that's exactly what this trial was set to do. It was, as we saw in all the evidence that was being gathered for this trial, it was clear that the only chance that Fox News had was for a rogue member or two of the jury to say, no matter what the evidence says, we're going to go with what we want to happen. Because after all, that's what right-wing media is all about. We don't care what the evidence says. This is what we want to have happen. For whatever reason, Dominion Voting Systems decided to accept a settlement just as the trial was about to start, just as opening arguments were about to be delivered to a jury that had just been impaneled. And they agreed to settle for $787.5 million. Keep in mind, they were suing for $1.6 billion. So they got just a little less than half of what they wanted in court. But I would argue, of course, that it's not about the money. It's about the principle and whether the principle has any legs when you settle a lawsuit like this instead of going to trial. Before I tell you more of my thoughts, let's hear just two reactions from two different anchors on CNN as they wrestled with a Fox statement about the settlement and their reactions to it. First, you're going to hear Jake Tapper in real time reading the Fox settlement. And then a couple of hours later, Anderson Cooper has a few words to say about it as well. So here first is Jake Tapper, then Anderson Cooper.
Fox trying to put a positive face on what can only be interpreted as one of the ugliest and most embarrassing moments in the history of journalism. Fox issued a statement saying, quote, "We are pleased to have reached a settlement of our dispute with Dominion Voting Systems. We acknowledge the court's rulings finding certain claims about Dominion to be false. The settlement reflects," I'm sorry, this is going to be difficult to say with a straight face. "This settlement reflects Fox's continued commitment to the highest journalistic standards. We are hopeful that our decision to resolve the dispute with Dominion amicably instead of the acrimony of a divisive trial allows the country to move forward from these issues," unquote.
Statement that this settlement reflects Fox's continued commitment to the highest journalistic standards. As Mike Wallace used to say when interviewing someone shoveling crap, come on. If there is anything we learn from the depositions, texts, and emails that were released by Dominion in the lead up to this case, is that there was no commitment to even basic journalistic standards where the 2020 election was concerned. Fox anchors said one thing on air to the audience they feared might abandon them, go over to some other more conservative news channel, and another thing off air in texts and emails to one another.
So the evidence is out there. They lied. They knew that they were lying. Where do we go from here? We've got at least one caller online, and we'd like to have more. So feel free to give us a call while I share my thoughts here at 844-967-2789. We'll take your calls in just a minute or two. I would argue that the good guys lost one yesterday because of the settlement. Fox lost the battle, but in a way won the war to survive doing what they do. That's not to say that Fox got away with what it did in 2020. It most assuredly did not. They paid a price, a big financial price, for lying. But Fox didn't get away with what they did. They did, however, get away with a business model that will not see any substantive changes as a result of this settlement. There was no full judgment by a jury. There was not the $1.6 billion that would have hurt Fox. And even though the maximum penalty wouldn't have driven them out of business, it would have done the closest we could get to the best outcome. The best outcome, of course, would be for, you know, the end of a channel dedicated to lying or misleading millions of Americans, eroding faith in democracy, and most importantly, normalizing a culture that rewarded conflict, mistrust, and outrageous behavior from our elected leaders. So you may ask, well, fine, if Fox was never in danger of shutting down its operation, what's the difference, a settlement versus a judgment? Now, it's right there in the words, settlement, judgment. In the latter, you are judged. A jury of fellow Americans has heard evidence, weighed it, listened to rebuttals, ultimately put something very real on the record, saying that Fox's political propaganda channel lied to such a level that no one should ever believe their claim to be a news channel. They would have been adjudicated as untrustworthy. And frankly, that would have made it a lot easier for cable and satellite systems to properly reposition the channel closer to other opinion or fiction channels and away from channels that are dedicated to the actual craft of journalism, which is about providing information that is based in facts. Without that judgment, we have a settlement. It's the journalistic version for Fox of a get-out-of-jail almost free card. Fox can wiggle around with the semantics and say, well, they got a few things wrong in this one instance, but everything else they've said and done, therefore, must be on the up and up. They're going to take the settlement as tacit approval to keep doing what they've done for decades. Lie. As media critic Oliver Darcy said, I'm told as part of the settlement, Fox will not have to acknowledge on air that it told lies about Dominion. The fight over truth and attacks on democracy has been reduced to nothing more than a business deal. Dominion made a business decision and took the money. And all that means in the future, as mentioned by analyst Juanita Tolliver, is now right-wing channels will just bake that money into the cost-benefit analysis of their future coverage. When you have enough money to spread a message and you can even just set some aside for a legal penalty, does it really dissuade you? I mean, after all, Ron Johnson knows that there's a price tag on misinformation, but if you're willing to pay it, you know, here's somebody who knew. He told a Brown County Republican official shortly after the 2020 election that he knew that Biden had beaten Trump, but that it would be, quote, political suicide to do anything other than help stoke Trump's lies. And so Johnson spent December of 2020 casting doubts. He very nearly spent January 6th as an accomplice to an attempted coup. And yet, far from accountability for spreading lies, Ron Johnson won a third term. Johnson had given untold millions to a few supporters through a sweetheart tax deal. They then spent millions in racist TV ads as a way of thanking him for it, helping him win by the narrowest margin. And those rich folks can say quite honestly, they got him reelected. Because when you allow enough money to drive a message, it doesn't have to be true. Fox did not want more sponsors to leave. They did not want more viewers to leave. But now, like Alex Jones, they get to play the role of victim. And that's unfortunate because this whole thing doesn't change my basic premise. There is room in this country for center-right media. Most people who vote Republican, I believe, are still center-right. They would embrace a center-right version of what we do at Courier Newsroom with our center-left values, our commitment to facts, and our constant emphasis on solving problems, not just airing grievances and just trying to win at all costs. A judgment would have made it easier for Americans to see more media like that, and we're not going to get that in this particular instance. What do you think? Dan in Madison's been holding. Dan, thanks for the patience. What are your thoughts on the settlement between Dominion and Fox?
I got to say, you stole my thunder. That was excellent analysis. That's pretty much in line with my thinking. As you even just stated, you know, I myself am center-right, but I cannot vote for these crazy Republicans because they're not conservatives. And so, you know, everything they're doing is just chaos. And one of the things I would like to see out of this, it's not going to happen, but I would like to see the FCC, you know, actually muster up and do something about that network calling themselves Fox News. ABC has a news channel or has a news program. They don't call the whole network ABC News. They call it ABC. CBS, NBC, same story. They have a news show or multiple, but they don't call their whole network news. Fox does have a couple of news shows and a ton of punditry shows. They should not be allowed to call the whole network Fox News when that's not what they do all the time. CNN, on the other hand, cable news network, news all the time. That's all they do is news. Does, you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do, Dan. And I agree with you so much that, you know, what good a center right channel would do for the country, not right wing, but one that has that kind of discourse that I know you and others really want from our country and from our media. So, Dan, thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it so much. We will, on the other side of the break, talk a bit more about this, take more of your phone calls, and then just really get into the whole notion of the tie between media and democracy. You know, media is so much more than, you know, the soap operas and the game shows and everything else. You know, media is our town square. It is our printing press. And there need to be consequences for lying about it. Was yesterday's consequence big enough? That's what we want you to tell us about coming up next. You're Up North.
Follow Up North News with our daily newsletter. Go to our website, upnorthnewswi.com, and click newsletter on the top banner. Once again, here's Pat Kreitlow.
You say the price of my love is not a price that you're willing to pay. You cry.
We'll just talk over the start of this, Aaron, because you still haven't seen Hamilton, right?
Yes, unfortunately.
We have to rectify this. And we'll tell you again in our next segment, our history lesson, why we're playing music from Hamilton, dealing with the Revolutionary War. But I'm glad it's still traveling. And look, even if you never get to see the show, listen to the soundtrack just top to bottom, you know, as if you were at the show, because that's pretty much the whole show anyway. You won't regret it. You really won't.
Yeah, I believe it. I've only heard praise.
Especially the tune there from King George character. He's got three songs in there that are just amazing showstoppers. We still want to know what you think of the settlement with Fox and Dominion, whether that will change anything. You can call us at 844-967-2789 or 715-388-7155. The problem here with the lack of a trial and a judgment, and let's face it, cable networks love to cover trials going back to OJ. I knew I'd come up with it there. And because of that kind of wall-to-wall daily coverage, you know, Fox knew was going to just continue to hammer and hammer and hammer away at their credibility. And Dominion basically let them off the hook yesterday. A judgment would have made it easier for Americans to eventually see more responsible center-right media that would come in the wake of Fox's near destruction. Instead, we're going to continue to hear this little compound phrase that just makes me nauseous. The phrase is doubling down. Instead of admitting defeat, President Trump doubled down on his election fraud claims. Presented with actual facts about Russia's election meddling, Senator Ron Johnson doubled down on claims about a so-called deep state. Tom Tiffany, after being asked to please concentrate on the struggling families in his own congressional district, doubled down on his belief that demonizing immigrants and advocating for closing the southern border was the best possible use of his time. In other words, all of these extremists and the rhetoric that presents a clear and present danger to our democracy, they have other outlets now, outlets that are even further to the right of what Fox was, channels that are more fringe and more cringeworthy. And they will hide behind a First Amendment that protects a free press and protects speech. But we always talk about being here in the land of Wisconsin sense, and Wisconsin sense reminds us that free speech can come with consequences. Defamation is real. Lying can be called out in court if necessary. And let's face it, one thing that has changed over time, as you just heard in some of the commentary from other channels, is that respectable newsrooms and more Americans are being more assertive about calling a lie a lie. Remember, in the beginning, nobody wanted to refer to Wisconsin's maps as gerrymandered. Like, oh, no, that might offend Republicans, until they finally came to realize, yeah, these things are rigged. You can call them what they are. They're gerrymandered, which is just a nice way of saying corrupt. So Fox won a war of survival yesterday. Its reputation is battered, but not broken. So our job here on, you know, basically the battlefield of truth in a fight to literally save democracy is to remind our friends and neighbors who are Fox viewers that Fox is, in fact, a clown show, and that they would do well to be open to various perspectives more than they currently claim they are, to be open to honest debate, be open to informed analysis, be open to trust, be open to compromise. And the often ridiculed but still severely essential concept of decent public service. And be open to losing gracefully on election night and fighting again another day, because that is the basis of democracy, along with a free press, is to let the people vote. Don't impede their vote. Respect their right to vote. Respect the outcome. And if you don't like it, be part of an active opposition while reworking your messaging strategy to the voters for next time. The basis of democracy has never been to prevent fellow Americans from voting, making it harder to vote, casting doubt on outcomes you don't like, working to overturn a free and fair election by sowing mistrust, by sowing Russian disinformation points, by signing on to lawsuits like Tom Tiffany did, seeking to overturn the will of Wisconsin voters. You know, Fox's political propaganda channel doesn't have to say out loud that they support all of these things, but we all know it. We all saw the proof in the evidence that was going to come out at trial. We, as a country of viewers and voters, deserve better choices in the voting booth and on TV. So what do you think? Will Fox be hurt more deeply? Will this entire business just be a blip on the radar and we will never again see right-wing misinformation held to account? Or are things looking better? Are you seeing your friends and relatives, you know, turning away from Fox and frankly turning away from hate, turning away from the constant conflict, the grievances, the eternal victimhood? Where does American media go from here? That's what we want to know from you, because we are still dependent as ever on outlets that tell us what is going on, rooted in factual information and in analysis that is heartfelt, honest, and well-researched. Because we have big problems in this country and we need to be focused on solving the problems. The one we talk about most often, it seems, unfortunately, is gun violence and how we need honest debate on this and not something rooted in talking points from a lobbying group for gun manufacturers. If you're not up to speed on all of the latest headlines, there's not only the young teen in Kansas City shot through the door of a house when he went to the wrong house by mistake by an old white guy who decided to shoot first and ask questions later. But there's also the story of a 20-year-old woman, white woman, shot dead because their car went up the wrong driveway when they were looking for a friend's house. Old white guy comes out with a gun, shoot first, ask questions later. And now in Texas, several cheerleaders were shot and wounded as they went out to a parking lot and started to go into what turned out to be the wrong car. And this person felt so threatened by cheerleaders that he decided to shoot first and ask questions later. What do you do with that? What do you do with that when people make mistakes in other countries? People go to the wrong doors in other countries. People go up the wrong driveway in other countries. What's different here? It's the guns. What do we do about that? Do we at least start at the easiest point possible and stop selling automatic weapons of war on our streets without removing any of the ones that are currently there? If you just stopped selling new ones, Would that help? Yes, we already know it would help. We tried that in the 90s. For 10 years, mass shootings went down. Then George W. Bush got elected. Republicans took control of Congress. They did not renew the assault weapons ban. And mass shootings have been on a, they've been an epidemic ever since. They've been on a tear. And we need to talk to people in office who are willing to put solutions to problems first. The solution to problems is keeping our kids and other innocent people from getting shot. Kids that don't present a threat. This is not some kind of castle doctrine defending your home BS. This is people just ringing the wrong doorbell and getting shot through the door. These are people who are, again, should have been flagged by a so-called red flag law, who instead buy weapons, go into our schools, and start slaughtering our children. We need to have that honest debate. And honestly, if we had a center-right media ecosystem that would discuss these things, then we would have fewer people getting essentially a gag reflex and saying, I don't want to talk about anything about guns. You're just trying to politicize tragedy. That's what you heard from Fox just yesterday, was that Joe Biden is politicizing the tragedy of that boy in Kansas City being shot. That Biden's the one politicizing this tragedy. That is repulsive. It is repugnant. It is so not helpful for what we need in this country, is we need those honest discussions. Mark from Prairie du Sac, who, you're not back there yet, are you? Are you back home?
Nope, not home yet.
Morning, Mark.
It's going to be a bit. Yeah, good morning. That it's going to be
with
a
us? Bit. Oh, wait a minute. Wait.
Yeah, I'm here.
Sorry about that. I had a button clicked on my screen here. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing better. It's going to be a few weeks before I get home.
Okay. But, all right. What's on your mind this morning?
I'm a little disturbed that Fox didn't get their hide further nailed to the wall, but we have to do that ourselves. Yeah, the other news media needs to do that as well, that they actually were lying, but they're just not going to admit it on the air and make a point of that being part of the settlement. They don't have to admit the fact that they lied, even though they did lie. I mean, we can make a point of that, and the other media can make a point of that as well. But as far as for the gun issue, back in the 1980s, Bill Ruger, a firearm manufacturer, of whom I have a couple of his different models of firearms, that said that no honest man needs more than 10 rounds in his magazine. And eventually his company was forced to change because of the whole Mark Vane thing of these huge capacity magazines that are out there now. And it's just, you don't need one of those things. And you don't need to respond to every little thing perceived threat as something where you have to haul your firearm and shoot through the door, or shoot cheerleaders trying to get into, they're mistakenly get into the wrong vehicle. I mean, it's just asinine that these things are not taken more seriously by some members of the political community. It is just, something has to be done. I mean, I'm not sure what the answer is, but something needs to be done, because it just is, the answer is not putting more guns in the schools. The answer is guns not getting into the schools at all. That having teachers armed, because these teachers aren't some teachers are going to be fully trained, but some of these teachers are not fully trained in this kind of thing. And blazing away with a firearm at one another is not what's going to happen. I mean, that you see our images of the old, of the old West, where a lot of those marshals clean up those towns by saying, when you come into town, you turn your weapons at the sheriff's office. Because they knew the dangers of people going off half-cocked all the time with firearms on their sides.
Yeah, exactly. We just need to get that out of there and stop romanticizing. I think a lot of them are romanticizing this Wild West version, whereas we know the real version. We see the blood. The blood is red. We see, the body matter that is, sprayed all over, and those are our children. Mark, thank you for calling in on that, and please continue to get better.
Thanks, brother.
Yep, we'll talk again soon. I want to take a minute, because we haven't done it yet, just to address what I said at the top of the show, that at least we're not Iowa. Iowa legislators met all night Monday night into Tuesday, and just before 5 a.m., voted to relax Iowa's child labor laws and allow teenagers to work in more hazardous conditions. The Republicans say that they're using children this way as a way to address the state's workforce shortage. And he rejected claims that this was more like a child slavery bill. But Democrats called the bill about as bad as it gets and says it doesn't really help with Iowa's labor shortage. You want to work on wages, maybe? That would help people. That would help people attract adults to Iowa instead of doing the other things they're doing, which is cutting SNAP money for food assistance for lower income families and so much more that we'll talk about later. But I just wanted to again say, we've got a party that's going in the wrong direction, and we need more outlets calling them out honestly on it. We'll take a break for this day in history. A little music, all coming up next. You're up north. Melissa Kay joins us now. She's not wearing a raspberry beret, but looks like she could be part of Prince and the Revolution.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Oh, I'm good.
Good, good. I like the cap.
Thanks.
Who it was Wendy and Lisa were the two singers that were with Prince as part of Prince and the Revolution. I remember them. You would fit right in.
Nice.
Prince topped the charts with Kiss on this day in 1986. The number two song behind Kiss was Manic Monday by the Bangles, which was also written by Prince. But in tribute to Prince and this song, I would like to offer up the alternative version. And I don't even know, Melissa or Aaron, if you're familiar with this one, but once you hear it, you're going to want to turn it up loud. Here's Tom Jones and the Art of Noise.
You don't have to be rich to be my girl. You don't have to be cool to rule my world. Ain't no particular sign I'm more compatible with. I just want your extra time and your kid. Think I better dance now.
I love that so much. Can't tell how many times I've used that line. Think I better dance now. And off goes Tom Jones. You hear that version ever? Either of you?
I haven't.
Nobody?
I don't know if I have either. Only reason I know that song is because of Pretty Woman and Julia Roberts singing it in the hot tub.
Oh, okay. All right. Well,
that's one of my favorite Prince songs.
Well, it's also one of my favorite Tom Jones songs, but you know, we don't have time to play the whole milieu, as it were. Also on this day in 1775, the reason we were playing Hamilton earlier, the Revolutionary War began with an American victory in Concord during the battles of Lexington and Concord. On this day in 1987, The Simpsons first appeared as a series of shorts on the Tracy Ullman Show.
Oh, wow.
James
is going to have a good day.
I loved the Tracy Ullman Show so much. Loved Tracy Ullman. And I remember seeing those little Simpson cartoons. And I was kind of happy when they first got a show. But, I mean, let's see, that's 30-some seasons. I guess I have to say I checked out of The Simpsons a very long time ago.
Oh, they're still going strong.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, because there's never a lack of material to mock. On this day in 2005, Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger was elected to the papacy and became Pope Benedict XVI. On this day in 1980, from the movie American Gigolo, today's number one song in 1980 was from Blondie. See, we got birthdays today. A lot of actors and actresses today. Tim Curry is 77. There's also Simon Cowell is 71. He looks pretty good for 71. That's a guy that takes care of himself. Ashley Judd is 55. James Franco is 45. Kate Hudson, you want to take a guess on her?
I really don't know. 43?
44. Very good.
Hey.
And Hayden Christensen, the actor best known as Anakin Skywalker, is 42 today. I had a lot of fun finding this one. Did you know that there was a ska band that first performed on Saturday Night Live in 1980?
No.
Me neither. So I'm going to play a little clip of this is the clip from them on Saturday Night Live this day in 1980. The Specials is the name of the group. The song is called Gangsters. Give a listen.
Ladies and gentlemen, The Specials.
Third row,
I guess what it says here is the crowd loved it. The crowd ate it up, but I'd never heard of the Specials till today. I don't think you have either. You have?
Oh, hey.
Oh, good. Okay. I would have thought they would have caught on more, but you ever look back on Saturday Night Live? There's so many times I've looked at the musical guest and I've kind of checked out, like, you know. And then later on, they get to be famous, and you go, oh, I guess I should have paid more attention to them.
There's so much to pay attention to, though.
I know. You can only do... I've got so much bandwidth here. Only so much. On this day in 1994, Nas released his debut album, Illmatic, at the age of 20, still considered one of the greatest rap albums of all time. Here's a little clip from a track called It Ain't Hard to Tell. I excel, then prevail. The mic is contacted, I attract clientele. My mic check is life or death, breathing a sniper's breath. Said to be one of the best examples of East Coast rap at the time, which would have been... Wow, 21 years ago now when that came out. So that's a little bit of our music break and our history lesson for this day. So Melissa, tell us what's happening at locally grown radio, WFHR.
Well, this week, actually today, our mayor, Shane Blazer, is going to be on Morning Magazine, which starts at 10 o'clock. And then also Wood County Health Department, we're getting an update from Rome, because there's a lot of exciting things going on in our little town of Rome. And then Senator Patrick Destin will be on Friday.
Okay. Well, good. Well, maybe he'll get asked about whether it is such a good idea to pass a bill that's been introduced lately allowing for teachers to be armed and have loaded weapons in schools.
Yeah. The answer is not more guns in schools, Pat. It's just not.
And yet, we've been talking, one of our themes this morning has been, at least we're not Iowa, where in the wake of, you know, the recent mass shootings in Kentucky and Tennessee, Iowa House Republicans voted on Wednesday to make it easier to bring guns onto the campuses of Iowa schools and universities, and implementing a gun safety curriculum developed by the National Rifle Association. So, you know, more guns next to the kids is one way to go about it. I'm getting all of this, by the way, from our sister publication, Iowa Starting Line, which is also part of Courier Newsroom. Iowa Starting Line has a newsletter and tells us as well this week that one of the things the Republican legislature is doing is trying to stop the way Democrats are trying to organize their presidential caucus for 2024, which, I mean, is just so unheard of, so wildly inappropriate to interfere with another party's, you know, elections and nominating process.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything about this, Pat.
No, well, that's why we bring these things up, is we look around 49 other states so that you don't have to, because we stay busy and busy enough just checking all of that. And as if that weren't enough, I just know there's more. No, that was all of it. I wondered what's in the corn liquor down there. It just seems when you're that drunk on power, you know, that these kinds of moves are what you make. But we were getting back to the snow and saying that what was the technical term you used for how much snow fell the other day?
Stupid amount.
Stupid amounts of snow have fallen there. And yet, because that narrow but amazingly heavy band of snow didn't fall over a major media market, almost nobody's heard about it.
Yeah, no, here in Abbotsford, I don't know the official amount, but I would guess it was well close to 2 feet.
Mm-hmm.
It had to have been. And then the drifts were even higher. I didn't think I'd get out of my driveway, but my boyfriend took care of me.
He's a good man.
And,
well, yeah, because again, if you'd gotten 2 feet of snow in a 24-hour period in, say, Chicago, I mean, we'd be hearing about that nonstop.
All over.
But you rugged Midwesterners in Abbotsford, you know how to get these things done.
We sure do.
Hey, thanks.
Just drive over it a bunch.
Yes, exactly. You just press it down. It melts soon enough. Thank you, Melissa. Have a great day.
You too, guys.
When we come back, a Republican tax plan that is centered on, as one congressman put it, pimps and prostitutes got to pay taxes. That's next. You're up north.